Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on OMF at JetBlue Park, and look who is here. Manager of the world champion Boston Red Sox.
We're back.
Alex
Cora. Together.
Ah, it's good
after,
to see you again.
After Philly, we did good, huh?
It's good, yeah.
Yep, I mean, we split the first time. That week was a little bit, but then we won.
We had a tough first week.
It was a tough week. Yeah, it was.
We were nervous there for a while, though. Hey, I ain't going to lie.
Nah.
I was like, oh, man. If they're going to use us as an excuse. we screwed up the mojo.
We told you we'd take care of you. You just had to take care of the bullpen. You got your job done, and okay, you're back for another year. I thought it was interesting. I heard you last week talking to the media about this. And everybody talks about what do you do after you win a championship. And everybody says you turn the page and you move on and you got to put that in the rearview mirror. And you're sitting there going, no, I don't want to put it in the rearview mirror. So do me a favor. Explain to me how this is going to operate where you're not flipping the page, rearview mirror. You're just continuing on where we left off.
I mean, I think those guys in Foxborough, you know, they kind of teach us throughout the years, how they do it. And I know Bill, he's always talking about starting in zero, but it's not that way. It can't be that way. There's a culture there, and that's why they're so successful. So flying from San Juan to Miami, I was thinking about turning the page. Oh, it's over, turn the page, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, man, you know, like you start looking for definitions of turning the page, you know, you Google it and all that. Everything is like you turn the page from something negative. You know, that's what usually you do. Oh, let's turn the page at that, you know, marriage or a bad breakup or, I don't know.
Stop getting personal. You look right at you.
A bad semester in school, whatever. Yeah. A bad season, let's turn the page, whatever. But you never say, let's turn the page because I hit 350. Well, we never were there.
I never hit 350.
Yeah, we never hit 350. Yeah, let's use another example. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? We just have to continue what we've been doing. And, you know, I started using different examples. You know, your life, we have different chapters. You know, we were kids and then teenagers. We went to school and all that stuff. We played professional sports. We got our families. But each stage of your life is a chapter of your book. So I basically told them, I say, hey, let's continue what we've been doing, you know, as a group. You know, there's a group there that they won the division three times in a row. I wasn't part of that, but they've been doing it. You know, they've been putting the team in a spot that they have a chance to win the World Series. You know, Mookie and David and Porcello, Sale, all those guys, the core of the team, they've done outstanding jobs the last 3 years to get there. So let's continue to do that. Let's continue to stay with our principles. I talk about it, and now I should, like, write a book or something, you know. Like, I thought about it the other day. I said, the core four principles for managers, you know, it's communication, connection, preparation, and execution. And if we stay with that and we stay, you know, doing the things that we did last year, we're going to be fine. We're going to continue to be successful. We're going to put ourselves in a position to be successful. I can't promise 108 wins, but I can promise you a very solid season and be consistent at what we do and just put ourselves in a spot that either you win 11 in October or 12, you know. Well, we don't want to win 12. We know what that means, you know. Let's stay away from the wild card. You know, the division is very important for us, obviously, but if we continue the things that we're doing, we're going to be fine.
So last year during the playoffs, you know, you had all these starters coming out of the bullpen, and you said, you know what, I'll worry about them in spring training, right? I'll take care of them in spring training. So here we are in camp. I saw Eovaldi throwing a pen. It looked like he was letting it eat a little bit, so he might be difficult for you, but how hard is that to ease up but get them ready for opening day? Because, you know, I mean, if they don't come out as sharp, it'll be, well, they didn't get ready in camp. It was a short camp for them. So how tough is it for you to manage that?
Yeah, it's the same thing we did last year. It's just people, you know, now we're the world champs and people are so worried about their workload and all that. I was worried about that coming into spring training last year. I think Sale first outing and the big field was March 14th. And then so on and so on.
The minor league game stuff you did is outstanding.
Yeah, because
too, right?
it's a control environment. You know, they will pitch back there. We will, you know, they'll go after it. You know, we got different turns for different things. You know, aggressive bullpen, control games. You know, minor league games and all that. So they'll be ready. They'll be ready for that. We did it last year. We did it last year, and you know, we came out of the blocks pretty good. You know, and The only difference this year is the schedule. You know, it's 11 games in a row in the West Coast. Regardless, it can be in the Caribbean. It doesn't matter. It's 11 in a row right from the shoot. And the roster, how are we going to do this? Options, they might play into, you know, some decisions. We have to take care of guys. We're going with a sixth starter already. You know, game six of the season is going to be somebody else.
Who's in the mix for that? Because Wright's a
reliever. The usual guys.
Hector,
you know,
BJ.
Hector, BJ, yeah. I mean, the saviors. Yeah. I mean, they were amazing last year. But if we do that, we go with the sixth starter, then all of a sudden, you know, whoever starts opening day, he'll have 6 days in between starts and so on and so on. Looks like, actually, they will make – if we stay with the program and don't skip guys and everybody stays healthy, they usually make, what, 30 starts?
30, 32.
Probably like 20 of them or 22 will be with an extra day, nice. Most likely.
Yeah, I just want to go back to your approach to the year, which I kind of appreciate. I kind of like it because there's more than one way to skin a cat. You talk about the guys down at Foxborough, Bill. Like, that's – don't even talk about it, right, after the Super Bowl is over. We were not going to address we're moving on. But there is a risk to this philosophy and this approach, and maybe it puts on an unwanted, you know, accountability of some of the guys, and you know, but – I wonder if you're nervous about, like, the target that's going to be on your back if you're automatically coming out and say, listen, we want to win it again, which is – everybody wants to win it.
Yeah.
So why not –
30 teams, although there's a few, you know
– No chance.
Yeah.
You say it.
You say it.
Yeah.
You say it. Yeah. I mean, there's a
if
few.
They embrace that mentality, because some guys are so superstitious and they're, you know, they don't want to actually admit what their goal is. Like, God forbid I tell the world that I want to be a Cy Young, you know, winner. It's, you know, Golden Glove.
You're going to jinx it.
Yeah, I'm going to jinx it, right? Are you trying to, like, just kill that mentality that exists in baseball?
We did last year. I actually told them, don't be afraid to talk about the World Series. You guys are that good. It was that message. And this year – about the target, I really think that we've been target since L.A. When we went to L.A., we played the Angels. You know, we started, what, 14-2, and we went to the West Coast, and it was Ohtani. It was like a big deal, like whatever, best record in baseball. Here we go. Let's see if they can do it. And all of a sudden, Mookie hit 3 home runs, and we swept the Angels. Since that day, I thought that everybody knew we were that good, and everybody was hunting us, you know, the whole season. I know we struggled – well – We were
played
in second place.
For a week.
We were in second place when we went to Minnesota, but then we took off again. But I do feel like last year, I talked to a lot of people in the off season, people that work in other organizations, and it was like, we knew you guys were good, so we have to go after it. And this year is the same thing. Embrace it. You know, that's what we want to do. Is it hard? Of course, it's hard.
Yeah.
Teams winning back to back, or they haven't done it since the late 90s. Yankees. But if you look at the history of the game, the last, what, 20, 25 years, the Phillies went to back-to-back World Series. They won one. They lost the other one. The Giants, every other year, they won. So that's tough to do, and they did it. The Dodgers have been to back-to-back World Series. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, but we can do it. So we should talk about it. That's our goal. And as you know, in the city that we play, is either win the whole thing or you guys are done. You know, we knew it
suck.
Last year going into
yeah. suck.
Yeah. That worked.
You want to talk baseball in the first 2 months of the season? You've already been asked the question a zillion times. You're going to visit the White House. Who's going? Who's not going? Used to be just a photo op for the president. Now it's a political statement. People are going to take the roster and they're going to have check marks. Who goes? Who doesn't go? Have you made up your mind yet? And if you haven't, what are you waiting for to actually convince you to go or convince you not to go?
I was like 100% to go after the World Series. I had my reasons. And then when I went home in January, early February, a few things didn't make sense for me as far as like the funds for relief, you know, the relief funds for Hurricane Maria. I think the government had signed, I want to say, $480 million or something like that to our country, and all of a sudden, you know, that money was going somewhere else, you know, that thing they want to build, you know. So it's tough because I'm in Puerto Rico. I live there. I know that we need help. And for how proud I am from my countrymen, the way they've been doing things back home, you know, we're actually, you know, surviving. We're in a good place right now. We're getting to, well, Lou went down there.
Beautiful.
I mean, you saw it.
Don Pepe's.
It's kind of like, you know, you go to parts and it's good, and the other ones are like, gosh.
Well, the resort was beautiful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You walk further down
of
the
course.
Beach.
Tourism.
And
yeah.
It's, you know, you can see the destruction.
Yeah. The bottles of rum were fine.
So that's where I'm at, you know. And
so you haven't made
it's May 9th.
So what can change now? Because you already know where the guy stands in the White House. The wall really doesn't affect Puerto Rico. I mean, it's part of the United States, right?
Yeah, so, but it's not the wall. It's the
funding.
It's the funding back home. So
well, let me ask
we'll
you,
see, man.
Why would you go in and try to do what Kraft has been able to do? Kraft's a friend of his, and you obviously don't have that relationship. But why don't you use your swag? Why don't you use your power a little bit and say,
that
you
was,
know what?
That was the plan early.
I'd like to go. I'd like to go, but I'd like to actually have a conversation with the man.
That was the plan early, so we'll
have
see.
Have you requested that?
No, not yet.
Request that. Why not?
Yeah, I should, yeah. We still got time. It's my 9th. For us, honestly, they've been talking about this for what, a month and a half?
Yeah.
And, you know, you ask the players, some of them made their decisions. Some of them are undecided. It's not a topic for us, you know. We know it's May 9th. Whoever wants to go home May 8th after the Orioles, they go home.
Well, that's fair. You know, whoever wants to go goes. Yeah. Who doesn't want to go and don't feel right going, not going. But you don't see any dissension. Guys aren't going to bitch and say, why are you not going?
Shame some other player.
No.
Okay.
They're in a good place, yeah.
So, obviously, the other big topic, too, obviously, is bullpen has been for a while, right?
Bullpen.
But I remember in the offseason talking about it, I said, here's the thing. I don't know who's out there, but look for a guy with a power arm that's got a good breaking ball, because with their analytics, they'll look at it and talk about usage and location, and they think that they can make and turn this guy into something. Is that your philosophy, as opposed to recent track record of some of these relievers, because it's unpredictable, do you look more at stuff and how a guy, you can change him with the analytics that your organization has?
No, I think that's where the game is going anyways. It's not only us. It's the Yankees and it's the Houston Astros. It's the vertical attack. You pitch up in the zone and they chase up, and then when they're looking up there, you just spin the ball down. And I know how it is. I know how it works. This started with the Kansas City Royals a while ago. You know, the bullpen is so important. And it is for us. We know that. And we do feel that we have guys that came into camp that are part of the 40-man roster, and others that, you know, we invited that stuff-wise we can actually put them in a better spot. And that's, you know, Dana's job and Zach with everybody in the analytic department and CB and Banny and David Bush. You know, the conversations are great. That's not my expertise. You know, I just listen, and I have an idea what I want, you know, as far as like where should we go with certain teams and all that. But Dana does an outstanding job explaining them why. You know, we have like Erasmo Ramirez, you know, his fastball plays up in the zone, you know, spin rate wise, and he can spot it up there. But he got away from it the last 2 years, and he wasn't as successful. So we do feel that we can actually put him in a better spot, and we can get outs. And, you know, with our team, honestly, and I made a mistake a week ago talking about our starters. You know, I said, oh, it's cool. They go 5-6. They don't go 5-6. They go 6-7. So we can actually maximize certain guys and then put him in spots that, yeah, he can get Lou Maloney with fastballs up, and he can get Alex Cora with changeups, and we mix and match, and somebody will get the last three outs. Right now, it's too early to name a closer. If we are going to name a closer, you know, we obviously we like Barnes and we like Brazier. They were outstanding that last year, and they're very unique in what they do. I mean, Barnes, he was outstanding. He was our closer before Craig. You know, during games, you know, he faced 3, 4, 5. There were righties. You know, Joe, obviously, early in the season, he was getting lefties out. But then in the middle of the season, he struggled. And then that happened in October, which was awesome. It was great for us. But going into October, that was a question mark. Joe made the team because he throws 100. And I was like, we're not going to leave 100 in the clubhouse. You know, maybe we might need him. And all of a sudden, he comes in game two when David struggled against the Yankees. And, oh, okay, that's cool. That was good. And then he built up, and he became a monster in October. So we'll be fine. I do feel that we're going to maximize their talent. We're going to maximize their stuff, and we'll get out.
So I saw a Steve Buckley article. You talked to him a few days ago that you one of the few managers that actually admit that you listen to sports talk radio. That can be dangerous at times. I know you want to know what's going on, but how frustrating do you get sometimes with what you hear?
I work at ESPN. You know, I know how it works. I think, honestly, me and Booney are the only guys out of the 30 managers that have a really good idea of how it works, the media. We didn't went to the minor leagues and worked for 20 years. I know people might get upset at that about that because they didn't pay the dues, but going there for 4 years and do the shows and listen to people and they teach you how to do things and how to talk, you know. I know how the whole trading deadline works, you know. I work with Bowden, I work with Timmy and with Buster, you know. I can go boom and it sticks. Oh, that's a rumor. And I work with Levitard and I work with guys that, you know, they're big personalities and I know how it works. So it really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. You know, like I listen to you guys sometimes. I'm like, man, that's not, you know, but it's not actually something that I take personal. That's who I am. And I think working on ESPN for 4 years taught me and Booney how to deal with that.
See, that's because you understand, too, the fact that, you know, your boss is sitting there saying, you know, Alex, you weren't as strong on that topic as you needed to be. You need to be strong with your opinion. You can't be wishy-washy. So I think that helps as well.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember my first few shows, and they're like, Alex, man, come on. Give me more. And then little by little, I felt comfortable. And I still remember, and that's when I was like, wow, what did you just say? But that's how I felt. It was the Utley slide at second,
yep.
And I was on national TV at 12:30 a.m. after the slide, and I said that was a horrible, you know, I mean, I didn't say the word, but it was, and I went through it, boom, 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 and when I was done, I was like, okay. No, but it was like, okay, I was honest, I was genuine, I'm doing my job, you know, and yeah, that's how I feel about it.
But see, you can handle it, you understand it, you've got some background in it. Would you recommend any player ever listen to Sports Talk Radio? Because I wouldn't.
I didn't as a player. Yeah. You know, I didn't.
I think it's bad for a player.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a sports fan too, and I love the when you guys talk about the Celtics and the Patriots and all that, I enjoy it, you know. Yeah, when you guys talk about the Red Sox. Like,
yeah, we don't know it. We don't know enough about it. Lou doesn't know enough about it.
Angry Lou. Yeah.
That's a problem.
No, it's Dr. Lou now.
Oh, Dr. Lou.
Dr. Lou. Now, Christian and I agree. He fixes things.
You put the music behind.
Yeah, we got it all.
But a player. Players should.
Yeah, players don't want to hear Angry Lou.
No. Nobody wants to hear anybody say you're bad or you suck or you're having a – you're in a slump. No, right?
Honestly, and you guys know the story that – I was watching before game five in Houston. You know, we made a decision. David's gone. David is starting game five, and I'm watching the network. And it's a guy from New York, whatever. He has his own show, whatever. And he was on studio, and he
– Matt DeGrusso, was it?
No, I remember who it was. Yeah. And he crushed David. I mean, for some reason, I had it on. Like, in the clubhouse, I flip channels. I'd rather watch basketball or football. In the offseason, I watch shows. I want to know what's going on, but not during the playoffs. Yeah. I was so locked in, you know, in what I was doing, and boom. And he's Verlander against Price. And, yeah, of course, we know the numbers. You know, it wasn't supposed to be the way it turned out, but the way he talked about David, it really got me. I was like, oh.
Getting personal.
You know, yeah, I'm like, wow. Yeah, okay, cool. So throughout the game, you know, we Devers hit the homer, and David is, you know, throwing that changeup. It was like a split, and he was dominating. And I was thinking, like, yeah,
call
this,
in.
If you this happens, in. If this happens, yeah, yeah. And I actually,
you did.
I said it. I said, you know what? I don't want to get into battles with the media, or whatever. But this happened, you know. And they invited me the next day. I said, no, I don't.
So no pictures this year? Have you thought of what you're going to do? No pictures
Camila,
on the wall?
Camila came in with a great idea.
Uh-oh, what do you got?
Oh, yeah, my daughter. Yeah, we have to wait. Yeah, but it's a good one. We were driving the other day, and she's like, we're not doing the pictures this year, Dad. I'm like.
So was it her idea last year?
No, last year was Billy, the photographer. And we had one. We already took one, the whole group here with the front office and everybody that, you know, that people don't know just to – You know, we did it last year here, and we took one with the picture and the trophy, and that's it with the trophy. No mas. Yeah, I don't want to carry a trophy anymore. But just kind of like telling everybody thank you for what they do. You know, this is a great organization, and as you guys know, you know, if the family room in Fenway is not working, then I'm not comfortable. You know, my twins are not, you know, they're not taking care of my twins, then Angelica's mad at me, and then I can't manage, you know. So everybody that works in the organization was there, and, you know, there's nothing – the best feeling this whole offseason is just to tell – you know, people will tell me thank you. I'm like, no, thank you, you know, because what you guys do for this organization is amazing, and people don't know you. So we did that one, but there's something coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, something coming up, so it'll be fun. She killed it. She was good about it. So good. We'll see.
Listen, congratulations on the winning. I know you had a great off season. And good luck this year.
Let's turn the page.
And keep listening.
Yeah, keep it on.
And by the way,
I use you guys as an example of the media in Boston.
A good example.
So Halloween, you know, October 31st, the parade. I got back home and it was, I don't know, 3:30, 4. You guys are on, and you guys were talking about 2019.
Already.
October 31st.
Yeah. Like, we moved ahead. Yeah.
My daughter's right next to me. Yeah. Camila's right next to me. She looked at me like, what?
You know what? Hey,
I told you, rearview mirror.
But here's the thing. We did it at the halftime part of the last Super Bowl for the Patriots. We started moving on at halftime of this last
Super
Bowl.
Will Gronk retire?
Okay, will Gronk retire at halftime?
Awesome.
All right, we look forward to talking to you. Great seeing you again. Alex Cora right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.